I've never seen so much controversy regarding whether Christians, or anybody for that matter, should celebrate Christmas. Although I've come to understand that it's been a controversy for a long, long time. I don't dispute the origin of many of the traditions, although there is controversy even regarding that. I also do not dispute the fact that December 25th is not Jesus' real birthday. I realize that it is a time that some people use as an excuse to get drunk and act lewd at parties. I realize also that some people spend more money than they can afford in an attempt to buy another person's love or respect. However, I would like for you to prayerfully consider a few thoughts I want to share with you today, and perhaps pray for me if you believe I may have the wrong perspective. Hello, I'm Shelley Dizdar, and this is Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. With the social networks available to us today, along with internet and other media methods, information of all kinds can be shared all over the world in just a matter of minutes. Many well-meaning people simply repeat what they hear someone else say without really thinking, or better yet, praying about it and investigating it. This brings me to the issue of Christmas. Are you aware of some of the changes that have taken place regarding traditions and especially word meanings over the years? With international travel and communications more common than ever, even businesses are making it an important part of training in order to be aware of changes and differences from one culture to another. I was born in the United States during the 1950s. Our family went to church every Sunday and any other time the church doors were open. Christmas was a special time of year at our house. My mother loved that time of year and decorated the house from top to bottom. And yet, never once did we dance around the tree or make it an object of worship. You see, my mother came to accept Christ in her early 20s due to a church Christmas play she was in. And although we had most of the traditional trappings of that time of year, the real focus was on Jesus' coming to earth as a baby and the promise fulfilled, along with the joy to be celebrated that the Savior of the world had finally come and what that would mean and how it would change things. The church Christmas program was a major highlight, and the church was always filled with people who would come to see family members and friends perform in the program, even if they never came any other time of year, to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be offered an invitation to accept God's greatest gift. It was also a time of year when the teenagers, and some adults as well, would visit the elderly and take them fruit baskets and sing Christmas carols for them. I can still remember the smiles it brought to those elderly people's wrinkled faces, and sometimes tears of joy as well. It was a special time when our congregation would give a special offering to bless our pastor and his family and thank them for their love and sacrifice. It was also a time when people would forgive one another and make a special effort to be kind to one another. Even then, my mother worked outside our home, and unless we saw family members at church, we really didn't visit much. So Christmas was a special time to just be together for a meal and laughter and prayer when it wasn't someone's funeral. Speaking of my mother working, she owned two dress shops and a hair salon at one point in our lives. Christmas was a particularly busy time, and the extra money made during that time not only helped get us through when business was slow, but enabled her to give something extra in the offering at church, which she always did. As small children, we believed in Santa Claus, but were never encouraged to be greedy, since we were to ask for only one thing in order for all the children to be able to get something. As school-aged children, we learned the joy of giving as each year we made special handmade gifts to give our parents. Later in our young lives, the trappings of Christmas took on more meanings, as we were taught the evergreen tree was a symbol of everlasting life at our house. The lights were a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. The ornaments were reminders of the streets of gold and the beautiful colors of precious stones that heaven is made of, and all the beauty that God has created for us to enjoy. The angels, as part of the decorations, were reminders of their message of good tidings of great joy that they shared with frightened shepherds in a field. The gifts under the tree were reminders of the gifts brought to Jesus and the importance of giving ourselves to Him as well, especially since God gave us His precious Son Jesus, the best gift of all. It was also a way of saying, "I love you" to family members, because we grew up in a home where those words were never spoken, but were to be assumed. As a grade school student, I began to play piano for the children's choir at church and the Christmas program. I sang solos and would act in the Christmas plays. At the age of 18, I directed my first Christmas play and went on many years later to eventually write and direct Christmas productions for the church and see lives touched and transformed. Not only who were watching the play, but were playing specific characters in the play, or perhaps just feeling a sense of belonging and acceptance as they worked together on the cast and in production for that special project for church. While my husband and I both grew up with the whole Santa Claus thing, without it affecting our ability to believe in God, even when we came to realize most everything we believed about Santa as a child was a myth, we chose not to do the whole Santa thing with our daughter, but rather make it a special time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Any gift giving was done on Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day was celebrated with a special meal and birthday cake for Jesus. It was also a time when we would invite people into our home to eat dinner with us who didn't have family or friends to be with on that particular day. Since that first winter solstice celebration, so many years ago, and yes, even that first celebration of the birth of Christ, many things have taken on new meanings. Traditions and even words in our vocabulary have taken on new meanings. I'm saddened that people once worshiped light or the sun rather than the creator of the light with hope that it would bring agricultural prosperity and blessing. Though I rather like the idea of rejoicing that the longest night of the year has passed and darkness has been overcome with light. I'm also saddened that others thought greenery hung over their doorpost would ward off evil spirits, rather than coming to know the power of God and the authority given to his children to overcome all the power of the enemy. I'm saddened that even today people continue to participate in immoral acts, not only during this time of year, but throughout the year, as well as part of their celebrating or not. I'm saddened also that people continue to ignore Christ while making a bigger deal out of the material blessings of God. For the Word tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, and it's He who blesses both the just and the unjust. I'm glad, however, that I can rejoice every day, whether it's December 25th or not, for it is the day the Lord has made, and I can rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad that I can make the most of every opportunity to share the love and message of Emmanuel, God with us, especially when people's hearts are looking for hope and love and joy and peace, and have found only perhaps a temporary means or none at all. I'm glad that I can surround myself with any number of reminders significant to me of the hope, love, joy, peace, and promises of God, regardless of how evil and depraved men once used them, and perhaps let them also remind me that there are still many evil and depraved men who need redeemed by the love of God's dear Son Jesus, even as you and I have been redeemed. For after all, that is why Jesus came in the first place. Yes, the suicide rate is high this time of year, and whether it's because of unrealized expectations for Christmas or just frustration due to another year of unfulfilled expectations, losses, or failures. After many years of working with people who have struggled with any number of issues, I've come to realize that we need to share the message of hope, joy, love, and peace in as many ways as possible and as often as possible, but especially at this time of year. So, whether you decide to participate in any form of celebration this season regarding the birth of Christ or not, let me encourage you to make every effort to at least read the account of Christ's coming to earth to save the world and thank Him for His humility and sacrifice. Share with others the good news of His first coming and the hope of Christ's return and everlasting love for those who love Him and give themselves to Him. Make a plan to be generous and be an example to your children and others of the importance of giving, especially sacrificial giving, in honor of God the Father, who loved the world and gave His only Son. Let love be the motive for everything you do, or perhaps not do. For Jesus Himself said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your neighbors as yourself. And now, may the God of peace fill you with all joy and hope as you trust in Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray. God, I thank You for loving all mankind enough to send Your one and only Son into the world to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. I thank you for the opportunity to know you as a young child and celebrate the importance and reality of your coming. I thank you also for the opportunities you've given me to share the good news the angels gave the shepherds on the night Jesus was born. To fear not, for there is good news of great joy which should be for all people, for the promised Savior had finally come to earth to save the world. And now, I pray for those who are finding it difficult to rejoice in you, whether due to pain or loss, failure or disappointment, or perhaps just not knowing you. I ask God, first of all, that you would enable everyone, whether listening to this podcast or not, to receive the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring comfort and healing and hope. I pray that each one of us would be able to keep our minds focused on you, God, for you will keep us in perfect peace as we keep our minds on you. And Jesus, I pray that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we do it all to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's podcast. I especially want to thank Catherine Dean and Patricia Mercer, who made it a point to pray for me last night as I labored over the transcript and continued to just pray and had been for a couple of weeks now on what to share and how to do that. Thank you for all of you who pray for us and support our ministry. May God bless you and yours and meet all of your needs as you rejoice in Him.